Good afternoon and welcome to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Of course, interesting market day. We're going to start on the livestock side of all the trade action. Of course, we had a cattle on the feed report. I have heard many people say, okay, was not expecting the numbers that we saw in that report come Friday afternoon. They had a chance for the weekend to digest it. Now, add to the fact that we've got other reports coming out this week. Everybody's been talking about March 28th. That is looming this Thursday, but also getting forgot about, which doesn't always give us a lot of data, but it's the quarterly hogs and pigs report that also comes out. And then we head into a three-day holiday weekend. So a lot of time to digest a lot of information this week. Kyle Bumstead joins us today with Allendale. And what a better person to bring on. Let's talk a little bit more about this cattle on feed report. You and I talked about it on Friday for the Saturday weekend report, but that was just moments after you had the chance to look at the numbers. You had a chance to kind of digest everything. And as we came into today's trade, what was your biggest takeaway from those numbers?
Well, first of all, Susan, thanks for having me back here. And yeah, Friday was quite the show with Mike Zuzolo. It's always great to be with Mike. But it was just a few minutes after the report, and we did the weekend roundup there. And overall, the report was surprisingly negative. And even after the break we saw on Friday, I was expecting here after we saw those numbers here to see a break today. And I was really expecting that August to take the biggest hit, and August did take the biggest hit here today, down $1.52 here on that August live cattle contract, with October and June here closely behind it, down $1.30. April was down $1.30 as well here. Of course, that contract's in liquidation mode here. But some of the biggest numbers here, and everyone's kind of talking about, was the placement number. And total placements during February are interesting, but the weight breakdown is even more interesting. Heavy cattle seem to be the kind of the normal aspect of the cattle business this year. Cattle weighing less than 600 pounds during the month of February were 101% larger than last year, with those 6 to 699 at 106% larger than last year placed at 515,000 head. Placements 7 to 799 were 111% above last year at 485,000 head. And those 8 to 899 were 115% larger. So cattle 900 pounds and higher and heavier were 111% of last year at 200,000 head. And with carcass weights that are record heavy for the week of March 9th, we're still waiting on this week's data here. It hasn't come out yet. Placements are certainly going to make make one expect to see ample supplies of fed cattle sooner rather than later. So we still got plenty of cattle around us here up front. Marketing number, It was the third largest in history on a monthly basis here at 1.793 million head. Only those of 2022 and 2002 and 2000 were larger, so it's somewhat misleading. But since February has an extra day this year, we killed 85,381 head on a weekday basis. Marketings were 98.5% of last year, smallest since February of 2019. So you really got to break down those numbers here. The marketings were weaker than expected here, given the fact that we had an extra day versus last year. So it does not surprise me here to see us break. The action in the spreads, though, was very interesting. First off, we saw as this thing shelled out just drove lower and drove lower and drove lower early on in the session. We set an open price high early in the session, and then it finally come back after gapping lower and got within and filled the gap there in the June contract. We got down to major support here in this June contract here at 180.75. I'm watching that 180.60 level because that would be a new 4-week low here on that June live cattle contract. That'd be taking out some old lows we had there from about 4 or 5 weeks ago. And 181.60 is where we closed. We're not that far away from it. And last week's move here in the cash market here, we had a pretty strong cash market here last week with that 65 to 80% carcass here, choice carcass there, of $2.23 there at 188.08. So I'm looking for cash to be steady this week, but we did have a basis flip last week, and now the cash is above the futures, and hopefully that'll encourage some more cattle to come to market. And if we got some big cattle around us up front here, it could encourage guys to move cattle a little bit quicker.
So as you look at that, and obviously the need to move cattle to fit the demand as we get closer to grilling season, what do you see that outline, and does that mean the opportunity maybe for some bigger cash coming the way to our folks?
That is possible, Friday we did see boxes down. We did see choice down over $3 and select down almost $3 as well, too. And that's the first big hit we've seen here in boxes. Now, today at noon, they were up just a little bit. But I'm really going to be looking at here if we get, 2, 3, 4 days together here of lower boxes here in the afternoons, that's going to be really cutting back into that packer margin. And that's something that's really been talked about in the industry here. And I mean, we as cattle feeders really shouldn't care what the packer's making, but it does affect how they bid and how they bid up. So they have been bidding up here, even though their margin hasn't been good, but we still have some other things that can affect this thing as well, too. We've got our outside markets here as far as interest rates and whatnot. There's talk of interest rates being cut here this year. We got the Dow, S&P, NASDAQ, some of those markets at all-time highs again. We got cash cattle now at all-time highs. So the question is, how long can the ball keep rolling? We do have the non-commercial funds. They had a sizable length here in this complex here, you know, as of last Tuesday here when that report came out Friday with commitments to traders. We did see some length there. Feeder cattle, they'd paired back some length. So there is some room to the downside if these cattle do start taking out and failing on a technical basis here. And that chart, to me, looking at the June and the August live cattle chart, does show some weakness here. It's going to take the rest of the week to confirm. And what better time to have it happen than on a coming up on a 3-day weekend here, a shortened 4-day trading week.
All right, I want to ask you before we head to break, we do have a quarterly hogs and pigs report that comes out Thursday afternoon. It doesn't get a lot of attention. Do you expect it just to be another quarterly run of numbers?
Yes, I do, Susan, and I do think that hogs are getting a little bit overvalued up here in these areas as well, and they're due for a pullback based off the charts, number one. Number two, you do have quite the premium structure out there. You've got the index trading around 83.59, 83.60 in that area. April hogs are trading at 85.15, June hogs at 101.67, and July hogs at 102 or 103.92, almost at 104 mark. So it does look to me, July hogs at 104. It does look to me like this, these contracts are getting a little bit out ahead of themselves here compared to where the index is at, and you could see a nice setback here unless this cash market really takes off. Now, I have been hearing some things out there in hog country.
Folks, we've got a lot more coming up as the Channel Final Bell continues on the Rural Radio Network.
Channel and Fontenelle have joined forces to bring you a product lineup that's second to none. Here's Channel Seed Pro Steve Bristol from Bristol Ag at Ravenna.
You know, we have the best and most complete seed portfolio in the corn and soybean industry, and it just got better. No seed company has a hybrid built specifically for each field's individual demands other than Channel.
For more, talk to your local seed professional or go to channel.com. Always read and follow label directions, IRM, green marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Welcome back to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield as we're continuing our conversation this afternoon with Kyle Bumstead. Talked a lot happening on the front half with this cattle market and the industry and the movement, obviously, that we continue to see within this trade. And I wanted to, before we flipped over to the grains, wanted to get your takeaway from a consumer perspective, because, you know, we had Fed talks last week. We know folks are watching their pocketbook a little bit tighter. How do you see that taking a toll on this cattle market when it comes to consumers buying and heading into a, would it be a strong grilling season?
Well, hopefully that demand continues. I know, and I've been harping about this for a couple years now about the amount of credit card debt in this country, but, you know, as you go anywhere, you can't hardly go anywhere without using a credit card. So until that really starts to catch up with the consumer, I think we're all right yet. But at some point in time, it will catch up with the consumer. And what I mean is less and less places are taking cash and they just want a credit card or debit card. And that's how they do it. So a lot of people will just throw the old credit card out there and throw it on there and we'll just make the minimum monthly payment. And as long as everything's good there and we keep making those minimum monthly payments or folks keep making those, we'll be just fine. But beef is expensive. I mean, I priced some here over the weekend at a very large Iowa grocery chain, and you know, you're talking for a ribeye loin just under $300. I think it's $275 for a whole ribeye loin. So that's getting kind of pricey. But you know, I mean, as long as people are still willing to pay for it, I mean, I'm all for it as long as they keep paying up for it. So we do have to definitely watch that though, and watch the unemployment numbers and some of the other numbers here we have as far as GDP numbers and jobless claims like that coming up this week. That could have an effect on things as well too.
All right, let's switch gears now. And you talked about it a little bit when we did the weekend report, the 28th. It is just around the corner. It seems like for the longest time we've been talking about this report for months, and now it is about to be here. And they said this could throw a lot of curveballs or surprises when we see those numbers come out midday on Thursday.
Yeah, it's possible, but I don't know what kind of curveballs we're looking for. I'd actually be looking for it to be a little bit more bearish beans and maybe slightly friendly on corn as far as the prospective acreage goes, and I put that in quotations because it's just a USDA report that the government puts together by a survey and whatnot. But you've had that NOV 24, DEES 24 corn bean spread sitting at 2.5 to 2.55 all winter long. So that's been saying that they've been buying beans away, bean acres away from corn all winter long. If they'd been under 2.5, closer to 2.4, then you could have made a case for maybe some corn acres. But to me, I'm looking at this market here. There's nothing really extremely bullish in either corn or beans right now, except the fact that we've got maybe some better feed demand. Obviously, given a government report with cattle on feed, we'll see what the hogs and pigs report gives us here. But we should have some decent feed demand, and our ethanol demand as far as the corn side goes. Our export demand is terrible. Obviously, we have not seen the export sales, and the basis and the spreads reflect that. They're slowly building carry back into this corn market. You're flirting with bearish carry in this corn market, and you're also kind of getting there in soybeans as well, too, with that May-July bean spread at 12 and 3/4 cents. It's not going to take much here, and you're going to hit the down escalator, and you could build some more carry into that bean market. But the bullish thing that we have going for us right now is this non-commercial short. If they keep come in here and keep covering these shorts, that's great, but it's going to be a small window of opportunity for folks to catch up on selling things. So we're really, I hate to say it, but we really need a weather issue this summer in order to hopefully get some more momentum behind this thing and maybe make some of those export sales, get some other countries scared that we're not going to raise it. But it seems like year in, year out, last year was one of the worst years that we've had in a long time as far as dry weather, and kept hearing about how I'm not going to have a crop. And then you hear guys in the combine, well, this is one of the better crops I've had. So, you know, as far as me listening to how bad it is out there, I hate to say it, but you just kind of become numb to it after a while, and you can't really listen to it, because at the end of the year, it seems like we've always raised better crops than anticipated.
Well, let's talk about the fact that, you talk about a weather event of some sort. That doesn't always have to mean drought. It could mean excessive rain. We don't really know what Mother Nature's going to throw our way.
Right. We don't know what Mother Nature's gonna throw our way. And as we talked here before we opened, the old adage is, if it rains on Easter Sunday, it rains for 7 Sundays after, as some of the old timers call it. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but it's still very dry here. We are getting a little bit of moisture in some parts of the Corn Belt. And yeah, an inch of rain or snow or whatever kind of moisture is great, and it's very, very welcome at this point in time. But we've still got a lot of very dry areas out there, and we could switch this thing over, and it could turn off wet too, and we could have a heck of a time getting this thing planted. I mean, if you look at the fog days, we're hitting the fog days pretty close here between the end of March, first part of April. So far, we're getting the moisture coming across the plains.
And we'll take the moisture because we definitely need it, and we can continue to see some improvements happening that way. As you look overall picture from a geopolitical, I know that earlier in the day they were saying all these attacks with Russia and things happening wouldn't have a factor to weigh in, but it's still being talked about in the trade.
Yeah, it is. We've been talking about Russia, Ukraine, and Russia and Taiwan, and Taiwan and China for, three, going on almost 4 years now. And I mean, every time we've seen a headline, at first it was, big market movers, and now it's not so big. So I think the market's kind of become immune to it. What I'm more looking at this year, or looking for long term, is this election coming up around the corner.
Today, what's the best way for folks to get a hold of you?
You can call me here at the office at 308-708-7340.
And that has been today's Channel Final Bell, being brought to you by Channel Seed and the Channel Seed Professional on the Rural Radio Network.